KSCU Santa Clara presents. Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right, welcome to Robots Attack. I am Joe, and with me is Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
Super Jason.
Yes.
And returning, Jen.
Hello.
Jen has been gone. We have missed her, but she's back.
Aw, you guys are so sweet.
Yeah, she's back. Back again. Yes. Or something like that.
Oh, the Muppets. You were going for the Muppets thing, right?
Something like that, yes.
Cool enough.
She's back to help spread the geek.
Woohoo!
And that's what we do at Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KCU Santa Clara. We bring you the news, the entertainment, the comics, the video games, the movies, all that jazz. But before we get into all that, how have you folks been? Not all at once.
Pretty good. The last weekend, I did a summer movie binge and watched both Dread and Total Recall, the new versions of both of those.
Nice.
And thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed them both. Okay. I don't understand why people were giving them such crap on the reviews. It's like, no, these movies are not that bad. I mean, they're not necessarily high art, but that doesn't mean they're bad. I thought they were actually quite good for what they were.
Yeah.
You know, it's people are just too picky, I think.
Yeah, it's hard for people, you know. You think Total Recall is kind of a classic Arnold, but
yeah.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. It was different. It didn't try to do like the exact same thing. So It was nice.
Yeah, the visual design with I'm with Jason on that is like some really top notch visual design there, and Dread was just wonderfully simple and straightforward and thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah, I really wish there was going to be a sequel, but I don't think there will be.
Yeah, which is most unfortunate because I think it would if they got a sequel, I think it would actually be even better because then they have like. They can actually expand the story beyond just like a city block and do something more interesting with it.
Yeah.
But so it goes.
Very sad.
So it sounds like you had some movie goodness. How about the rest of the lady and gentleman?
You want to go, Jason? Okay. He's pointing at me. So the first week I was gone, I was visiting some friends out of state and I had a really good time.
Hooray.
Yeah, came back pretty, you know, rejuvenated, recharged. It was nice. And then I got sick when I got back.
Oh.
It's going to happen on a plane, you know. That's just the way it goes.
Six on a plane.
Yeah. Wait, six. Wait, what was the word?
Yes. Germs on a plane?
Germs
How about
on
that?
A plane. Germans on a plane. Nice. Wait, what?
Not the same.
Oh, okay.
No.
However, it does rhyme, so.
It does rhyme very nicely.
That's true.
Yeah, one of my friends I was visiting also happened to be sick, so it was like, you know, even double the chances right there. So it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's when you double down on the pseudoscience remedies for keeping from getting sick.
It's true. All right.
Like holding your breath for long periods of time and...
I was thinking more like coldies and stuff like that.
Drinking a glass of water upside down.
No, that's for hiccups.
Oh.
Or burps.
Man, I've been doing it wrong all these years.
I did try and hold my breath for the entire, you know, 6-hour flight. No, I didn't.
That would be most impressive.
Yeah.
That's the best way to fly right there. Me personally, I had a not bad week at all. Got back into Borderlands a little bit and finished off the Torg campaign with somebody in this room. And I enjoyed that a lot.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, any excuse to throw Moxie into more stuff, I'm happy with too, so.
And Tiny Tina.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
Tiny
true.
Tina comes
She's
back?
In that too.
Nice. Yeah, more of her is always good.
Yeah, we can't talk too much about her since I don't think somebody has even met her yet, so.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a good point. We need to catch you up.
Yeah. No spoilers, though, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Except that she exists, so.
And I mean, she's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have seen pictures of her on the internet.
Hopefully,
gasp!
you might want. Yeah, we won't touch that one. Although I did see the Twitter feed for, I think Facebook feed for Borderlands 2 put up a couple of really cool things. They put up, somebody did a one-off comic of Tiny Tina that was pretty good. And like a really short one, but somebody did a really good job on all the artwork and whatnot. We'll see if we can get a link of it up on our site. And on top of that, they redid the original promo footage for Borderlands 2 and redubbed it to MIA's Paper Planes, which works pretty well since there's a lot of gun violence and ka-ching in both things. So,
yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they leaked to the last DLC is like June 25th or something like that.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen that. I haven't paid attention today, so.
Yeah, it was literally the writer tweeted a picture of, I assume someone that works at Gearbox, like sleeping on a couch. And in the background was a one of those like cardboard poster boards. Yeah, standee of the new DLC like in the back. It's like.
Nice.
So.
Trixie.
Plus the new character for the game is coming soon as well.
Yeah, yeah, sometime this month.
Yeah. Definitely looking forward to that. No spoilers on that. It's a psycho, and it looks like fun to play.
Breathing fire should be cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to have like a Molotov clash tree, because it seems to have like the breathing fire, like taking a nip and then breathing. Triple. Anyway. But yeah, it looks cool.
I agree.
And they put out the expansion or the pack that makes it, like, prepares the game for the Psycho coming out. So we saw a fair amount of class mods for the Psycho sprinkled around the game, which was kind of interesting because the class mod for it is a buzzsaw blade.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it's actually part of his weapon or just hanging at his side or whatnot.
Hmm.
Yeah, since they have everyone else is, like, attached to things on their bodies, you see where it'll be on this Psycho.
Should be pretty cool.
Speaking,
I was going to ask how you were doing.
Okay, I'm trying to think if I did anything worth, like, mentioning beyond playing some Borderlands 2. So you jump back into Modern Warfare 3 with a friend for a little bit. Let's see. Did I watch anything? Gosh, it's kind of a blur. It's like
one of those weeks, huh?
Yeah. Lovely excitement to talk about for the radio. But speaking of things that are cool, Caleb, tell the folks how they can be cool with us.
That's right. If you like what you hear and you want to be a part of it, you can interact with us by finding us on Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, two words, or finding us on Twitter. Our account is Robots Attack Me. Or if you like email, or prefer email, I should say, you can find us get us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all of that's just a little bit too much to remember all at once, robotsattack.me. That's our own website. We have archive episodes of our shows. And there's a button there that says interact. At the interact button, you have links to all the things I had mentioned before, Twitter, Facebook, and email. Please comment, like our Facebook page, all that would be totally awesome.
Yes.
Sweet stuff.
Yes, we like it when you participate on the show. It makes it fun, interactive, and all that jazz. Like the future and, is now, and the present.
And you'll be
is
on
later.
The radio. We will interact with you live.
Yes.
Ish.
As close as we can get.
Yes.
I did. Not this. I forgot to mention before, but like I made another dumb like video.
Oh, fun!
That I was like sort of working on. So. I did that, I guess. That's out of the ordinary than just
Hooray.
Playing video games. So
there you go. That's fine.
There's that. But I say we could move on to the new releases.
Sounds like a plan.
All righty. New releases for the theater. Well, okay. I guess I'll get the big one out of the way. We have the Iron Man 3.
Wait, what?
Yes.
It's of some little indie movie, right?
Exactly. It's in both 3D and IMAX 3D experience. So, you know. If you want to check out in any of those. But let's just say you don't really want to see a man in an iron suit. Say you want to see Cinco de Mayo, the battle.
Woohoo!
There you go. You can see a movie called Aroused. Okay.
Very good then.
Then we have The First Night.
Wasn't that already a movie?
No. This is like night, actual night.
N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
You don't have Sean Connery playing King Arthur?
No. But we do have Desperate Acts of Magic. We have Generation Keanu Reeves, isn't it?
It should have been Generation Whoa.
Maybe that's in there too.
Yeah.
We also have Kiss of the Damned. Poster looks interesting. Once Upon a Time in Brooklyn. Let's see. Anything else? The Iceman.
Yeah.
And that'll wrap it up.
Not a reference to Top Gun there?
No.
Ah, okay.
Or the X-Men.
Doesn't look like it, unless Winona Ryder's. She was in Star Trek, but...
That would be quite the acting switch. Yeah. Anyways, if those movies don't sound interesting, maybe your DVD collection can be expanded with Body Melt.
Ooh.
Or Broken City on Blu-ray and DVD.
Ooh.
Night of the Living Dead Resurrection on DVD. Yeah. Not Fade Away on Blu-ray and DVD. It's the film debut of David Chase, who did The Sopranos. The Pat Labor OVA is on Blu-ray, and OVA stands for Original Version Animation. It's basically the starter series before an anime series. Some kind of things like direct-to-video that oftentimes gets turned into a TV series. Just in case you're curious. Then there's the Silver Linings Playbook on Blu-ray and DVD as well.
Nice. Alrighty.
Closed out with another award winner just to keep things going.
All right, let's move on to the video games. We've got Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. We've got Soul Sacrifice. Might and Magic Heroes 6 Shades of Darkness.
Not to be confused with Shades of Grey.
Exactly. if you're still playing EverQuest 2, there's Scars of the Awakened. You have Leviathan Warships. Looks like Fez is finally dropping on the PC. PlayStation 3 is getting Deadly Premonition, the director's cut. And then I think the other platforms that didn't get Poker Night 2 are getting it this week.
Uh-huh.
Or got it this week. And let's finish it off with Kung Fu Rabbit and Gummy Bear's Magical Medallion.
All right.
I heard there's an EverQuest free-to-play that just came online as well.
Ah, there you go then.
Nice.
I tried out the demo of Poker Night. It's a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, cool. I did too. I enjoyed it immensely.
Let's see. From there, we moved to comic books. And on DC... there's The Movement, number one, and it's about the superhero team for the 99%.
Oh.
And then there's...
not the bowel movement?
No. Not that kind of movement. Then Ferrest, number 15. This one's set in India. Superior Spider-Man, number 9. Hawkeye, number 10. Over in the non-big two is 10 Grand, number 1. Polarity number 2, Suicide Risk number 1, and Hypernatural is number 11. $10,000 and Super Slade Risk actually sound like rather interesting. Their synopsis sound cool. $10,000 is about a hitman whose last job winds, who's trying to get out, and his last job actually gets him involved with angels and demons. So things get hairy, to say the least.
Things get supernatural.
Say, oh yes, yes indeed. and Suicide Risk, in this world, the supervillains outnumber the superheroes, so one cop decides to try and even the score.
Fun times.
Mm-hmm. And one last bit of comic news. For those of you here in the Bay Area, if you have not heard of Hope Larson, you should go check out her stuff.
She's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, she's an Eisner Award winner, which, if you don't know, that's the Oscars of comic books. she does a lot of really good work, and she will be making appearances in Berkeley this weekend.
And if you don't know what the Oscars are, that's like the Emmys for TV. If you don't know what the Emmys are for TV, it's like...
The Grammys for music?
Like the Grammys for music. If you don't like what the Grammys are for music, it's like the Tonys for plays and stuff.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Now you got me.
See, I thought, I knew eventually we'd get it, you know.
There you go.
Of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Tonys.
Yep. So she'll be doing meetings and signings here in the Bay Area. I'll put a link up on our to her webpage, which will tell you where to find that.
Nice. All right. Well, we got a show for you today. In the core, I'm going to have Jason explain the topic because he suggested it this week.
What? I did no such thing.
Just a brief description.
Okay. Well, we have all of this stuff that tells us what the future is and is supposed to be as far as science fiction and whatnot. And since we've been around a little while, mm-hmm. we've seen a lot of it that was made long enough ago that the times are actually coming up. We haven't quite reached the date of Back to the Future, probably one of the biggest of them, but mm-hmm. there's plenty of others out there. So we thought it would be a good opportunity, especially since the video game that Joe mentioned earlier, Blood Dragon, the Far Cry 3 spinoff, came out. That takes place in the glory days of 2007.
Seven, yeah.
That it would be an appropriate time to try and figure out if the future is everything that it was cracked up to be and the science fiction and whatnot.
Is the future now or is the future later?
Right. I mean, do we have jetpacks?
Yeah. AKA this segment will show how old we are.
Exactly.
And yeah. We got a Caleb's Corner, I believe.
Yes, we do. This is about transparency with research and taxpayers' money.
Nice.
Okay.
And of course, the news, which mm-hmm. want to tease the folks any fun news stories for them?
Let's see. How about a new toy coming out of Microsoft Research?
I'm going to present you with a new item that allows you to live out your dreams of being Mr. Freeze.
Ooh.
Nice. Yes.
And
Freeze,
Batman.
And Jen will bring you This Day in History as well.
Hooray.
So,
before you missed it.
Yeah. Which we know you have. I know I have.
I did.
I wanted to know what happened in history Aww. Last couple Thursdays.
Yeah,
I guess we'll never know.
You guys are really good at humoring me. Thank you.
Alrighty. Well, before we get to all that, we're going to take a quick music break and come back with more Robots Attack. I'm going to play a track from the band Crisp. The song is Captain Hook. Hopefully you like it. All right. We are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
All right, welcome back to Robots Attack. We're now in the news. Caleb's going to start us off.
That's right. I mentioned that Microsoft has a new toy. It comes out of their R&D department, and this is specifically aimed at their expanding the idea of what you can do with your Xbox, and not just what the Xbox can do, but also how the Xbox interacts with the environment. Now, that's all very airy fairy. What does it mean?
You mean like mountains and trees, or
no, more like what's it going to do in your TV room? So they have this technology they're calling AlumaRoom. Not the most engaging name ever, but it is very descriptive. So what they have is a very wide screen projector, and they stuck a Kinect on top of it, and then they have it talk to the Xbox. And what they can make it do is they can project extra image on top of the room itself. So what one of the things they can do is like project like illusions over it, like whenever, like say you fire your pistol, like it makes a distortion wave, it will actually distort, ripple the image of the room itself.
Sounds pretty cool.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. And they also have other ways of interacting with. There's a really neat video in the story that shows off what it can do. But yeah, just they have, it's a interesting way of affecting the visual environment beyond just the TV, that is both about the TV and not about the TV at the same time. It can be about the TV or not, or just auxiliary to the TV.
Right. And it can be about the Kinect and not be about the Kinect at the same time also.
Yes. But it's about the space and basically how the game is not necessarily contained just within TV. It can also be expanded beyond it. And movies as well, if you want to.
Yeah, it's a really cool bit of technology. Highly suggest that people check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It will blow your mind.
Yeah, we'll have a link to the story on our Facebook page, like all of our stories. All right, Super Jason, what you got for us?
Okay. Makers of practically everything inventive and awesome, the Japanese the company there called Fumakilla, I didn't want to mess that up, they made an aerosol freeze can for killing roaches quietly and efficiently and cleanly.
Huh. That's actually kind of cool. Is it like a roach motel they walk into and it like zaps them? Or is it like you find them, squirt?
You find them, freeze them.
Hmm. There you go.
Yeah, so you no longer have to smash your roaches against the walls. So that's always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then can you still keep them as trophies as if they were squished on the wall?
Well, that's the best part. You can, I'd assume, like pin them right then and there and let them slowly die on the wall without smashing them there. So it doesn't leave the mess. You just have the trophy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
There you go. And then they can be...
It's the best of both worlds.
And they can be a warning to all of their friends.
Warning.
This is what will happen to you if you come in here.
And, yeah, exactly. You have the option of mounting its head on a tiny spike.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
At the drawbridge or where not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what the parallel of the drawbridge and your home would be, but
the doorstep,
there you go. You might not want to do that though, because you don't want to scare away visitors.
True. Good point.
Yeah. Anyway, it's still kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And you can live out your dreams of being Mr. Freeze on much smaller but very fun scale.
Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin.
Oh.
Heck, from anything.
Yeah.
I refuse to believe that Mr. Freeze was uncool in any incarnation. I'm sticking with that. That movie may not have been cool, but
nice save.
But Mr. Freeze always cool.
Clever. Ah. All right. Well, my story is an update from a story I mentioned last week.
Oh,
looks
nice.
Like Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver confirmed for Marvel's The Avengers 2.
Snap.
So, like I talked about last week, Joss Whedon teased a brother-sister,
He is such a tease.
Showing up, yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. you know, showing up in the Avengers, and now it looks like Entertainment Weekly has confirmed that the siblings will join the team's ranks for the sequel. Marvel Studios boss Kevin Feige would only tell the outlet, quote, "I'm not confirming or denying. The draft could change 6 months from now." So if they stay in the final draft, there's going to be some slight problems, though, because the characters were introduced in the X-Men comics as the children of Magneto, but they later became members of the Avengers. While Marvel can clearly use them in Avengers 2, they won't be able to use and probably won't be able to mention Magneto, the X-Men, or perhaps most importantly, the fact that they're mutants, since Fox owns the screen rights to all things X-Men.
Oh. It's okay with me.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll figure out some
there's
way.
There's just going to be a wink and a nod, and it'll all be awesome. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and
he'll Whedon it.
And like Mr. Feige says, I mean, the draft could change from now. So they're in it now, but that's, mm-hmm. you know, there exactly. were things in the original Avengers draft that didn't make it into the movie. So, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe not. But so far, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are going to be in Avengers 2.
Sweet. So. Alrighty.
Before you get to that story, Caleb, yes. we got one more PSA.
Another what? PSA.
All right, what do we got here? Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share your stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us on sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Alrighty. Alrighty.
Good stuff.
So we're moving from the Avengers, which is part of Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 1, and Phase 2, we got Guardians of the Galaxy, which takes us into space. Okay. And space is where my story happens now.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you. So,
belabored, but I mean,
whatever.
Ugh.
So
he's just mad because now he's gonna have to spin his story off of whatever you're
gonna
next.
Try.
Oh, come on,
come on. So space is awesome, and Saturn is one of our more fascinating planets, and it is known for its storms. One of the things it's known for is having very powerful storms on its surface. They recently have found a hurricane on Saturn, of which the eye of the hurricane is 1,250 miles across. That
seems large.
That's quite large. That's about 20 times bigger than a typical hurricane here on Earth. So this thing could engulf almost a continent just in the eye itself.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that entire continent is safe.
For now.
Until it moves, yeah. And it has winds that are also more powerful than you typically find on Earth, clocking in at around 330 miles an hour. The researchers were at first caught off guard by the size of this thing, because this is a big, powerful, wicked storm. And one of the things that's very curious about it is that the eye is not round; it's hexagon.
What?
Whoa!
It's a six-sided eye of the storm, which is bizarre.
How does that even happen?
Science.
Oh, only Jupiter, am I right, huh?
Saturn. Saturn.
Only Saturn. Only yeah.
Thanks to the Cassini spacecraft satellite, which which has been orbiting Saturn for a while, and we've got a lot of really good images and data on this planet, but also like really clear, powerful pictures of what's going on there. But yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy big storm, and shows that life in outer space, it's a little bit more dangerous than it is down here, and it's pretty dangerous as it is.
That is very true. I get mind blown.
Oh, one last crazy detail. It doesn't shift north like most hurricanes do here on Earth because of the way our Earth rotates. This one actually was locked over the... it was stuck at one of the poles for a while, just like sitting there.
Huh.
So, yeah,
This is one of those like perpetual storms. Like
I don't think so. I think this one is. I think this was just like a hurricane where like we get where like a weather pattern changed on the planet and it created the storm. I don't think it's like the red eye where it's constantly there.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. If it was like that one.
No, I think this one is different.
Okay, I think it's definitely gas-based aliens flexing their technological and natural muscles.
Mm. Yeah. I can see
They're
that.
Trying to communicate.
Go big or go home. Or something like that.
You're next.
Yeah, it's their version of surfing.
That's pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Windsurfing time.
Yeah, we're going to make a comic about it or something. Okay, so from nature on Jupiter.
Saturn.
To trying to be more natural right around here.
Hey, there you go.
Aha. See, I can do it too. Okay, I'm a sucker for the 3D printing stories, so I'm going to throw another one at you, just in case you're not sick of them yet. Everybody's been figuring out the either quickest or cheapest ways of doing 3D printing, or in some of our previous stories, the biggest ways, and building entire moon bases and whatnot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But people haven't really put much thought into making any of it recyclable.
Mm.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
A lot of people seem to have that as a priority.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so some people in, let's see here.
In a place on Earth.
Oh, it threw me off because I thought I knew where it was, and then I saw a different place. So, anyway, some people in Oakland at a place called Emerging Objects have been fooling around with more natural materials for doing some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they've been messing around with salt and wood and...
So when you say wood, do you mean like that liquid wood stuff, like that they make the deck boards out of?
It can't be that because that is not recyclable.
Okay.
Well, they say it is, but it's only recyclable into more of itself, which is kind of the trick. So,
All right, continue.
So it's kind of neat stuff just because nobody's really thought of trying to make this before, and they have some representations of it. What's kind of neat about the salt ones is that it ends up making things that look like alabaster, basically. And initially they were really concerned that it would be fragile. I mean, how many things made of salt do you know of that are terribly worth keeping around? That wouldn't fall apart, and if you breathe on them weird or
can't think of any off that.
Well, anyway, they figured out some sort of process that seals it, so it makes it like a piece of pottery, effectively.
Oh, crazy! So it's like water resistant or waterproof.
That's the way it sounds.
Nuts.
So they're making all sorts of interesting things, mostly sculptural and artistic at this point. I assume just to prove its way and whatnot.
Experimentation usually begins with art.
Right. The really neat one to me, though, is doing it with wood. Effectively, it is sort of the same idea. It's wood fiber and sawdust.
Okay.
That, again, they're trying to go for more natural things, so I think they're using different types of sugars and whatnot along with that. But since the printing process on these machines works in layers, it creates wood grain.
Oh, neat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's actually kind of brilliant.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's completely linear wood grain, unlike normal wood grain, but still really cool.
Yeah. It looks like some of those nicer plywoods you get for decorative stuff.
Exactly like those. Yes.
Or vertical, or you can get vertical grain, something. I don't know.
Well, this way you can print it whatever way you choose and makes you happy.
Good point.
So
that's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, cool tech from Oakland, not so far away.
Yeah, right on.
Okay, so from that to a story I grabbed from Polygon, researchers attempt to use video games to improve visual impairment. Researchers at the University of Lincoln in the UK are currently attempting to improve the eyesight of visually impaired children through a rehabilitation game, Medical Express reports. The project has been awarded a grant of approximately £130,000, and researchers will work with participants from WESC, a specialist center for visual impairment. According project lead and professor of cognitive neuroscience, Timothy Hodgson, typical visual training programs are simply, quote, too boring to use with children. Our game will be a fun computer-based tool which will benefit children with visual field loss, holes in their vision due to damage to the brain's visual pathways. This is an exciting research project which brings together expertise from diverse disciplines and puts this knowledge into practice.
Aw, so no near, it's not going to fix my nearsightedness?
I don't think so. In a way that could make a real difference to the quality of life of visually impaired children. At the same time, we also expect the game will be suitable for rehabilitation of adults who have suffered sight loss due to stroke.
Hmm.
Video games are becoming a more frequent source of treatment in various health problems. There was a story also that Tetris was being used to treat lazy eye conditions.
Cool.
So the Kinect is sometimes used to help patients recovering mobility or improve motor skills after suffering a stroke. So yeah, looks like video games are starting to work their way into, you know, being beneficial
yeah.
to people.
Well, I think as
looked at is yeah. actually being beneficial and not just
entertainment.
Yeah.
And I think as they become interactive beyond a controller, I think that's when it's really started to expand what people
yeah.
can do with it, which is kind of brilliant.
Like with the Illuma Room.
The Illuma Room?
See, mm-hmm. it's all circular. Tie it all in here at Robots Attack.
Exactly. Oh, Jason.
Yes.
A listener asks, do you think that's worth its salt?
I think it very well could be.
Very good.
Listener.
Nice.
All right, so I'm going to round out with our with a robot story in case unless anybody else has
yes.
a...
No.
Okay. So, this from I've gone from the very large of storms on Saturn.
I was going to wait for him to say Jupiter.
Now I'm going to the very small. This is a about a insect-like micro-robot that has been called Robo-Bee.
Robo-Bee.
Robo-Bee, yes. And it is... I don't know if it's the smallest, but it's one of yeah. the it's one of the smallest.
Should have got the RoboCop theme song or something playing in the background.
Unrelated to RoboBee the robot.
Yeah, it's not a production model. It's just
sorry.
a robot.
Sorry, I was trying to play on words. It didn't work very well. So
okay. This robot is half the size of a paperclip, roughly the size of a. It's around the size of a quarter. It's at that. It's like as a spatial comparison.
Yeah, the picture that I saw had it sitting next to a penny, nice and neat. So.
Oh, the penny. Okay,
it's,
yeah.
It's the wingspan that throws it off, but the wings are clear, so it looks like it's the size of a penny.
So, needless to say, it's very small.
Yeah.
This is a flying robot, which is a challenge at that scale because how do you generate enough lift to move the robot? How do you put motors in the robot? Stuff like that. And one of the things that, and one of the ways I got around some of this was using the piezoelectric actuators. Now that's where the electric charge causes the material itself to change its shape.
Ah,
okay. So
they use that to as a motor. So it's like these little pieces of polyplastic, I'm guessing,
and a cousin of the technology I presented last week.
Yes. It's kind of on the new that particular type of electronic is a new field in materials. It looks like this robot is less than 1/10 of a gram, and it the only thing it can't do right now is
taxes.
Can't do that yet either, but it can't fly autonomously. It's
okay.
Or with its own power. It needs a tether currently to give it direction and power. But it's still like that. it's still about the size of your thumb or smaller. Okay. And really, really, which is really, really cool. They've been trying to work on this, get this bot to fly for 12 years. It's like this is like big research stuff, DARPA kind of things.
Very neat.
Yes. And one of the cool things about that I've got out of the article was one of the things that made this robot work is they found ways to create the flexible joints out of a printing process similar to that they derived from children's pop-up books.
Huh.
So
interesting.
From children's books to robots, who'd have thunk? But it's a very cool there's lots of neat pictures of it in the article, which I am posting right now.
Sweet. All right, well, before we get out of the news, Jen's gonna bring us
Today in History.
Yay.
Yay.
Yay, yay.
Okay, so here's an interesting story. In 1924, there was actually a pretty grisly crime that occurred that after that, they were like, crime scene investigators, you all need rubber gloves all the time. The short version of the story basically is that a husband had murdered his, or a guy had murdered his mistress in a pretty grisly way, and so they had to,
with a grizzly bear,
they had to reassemble her corpse, let's leave it at that. And they were doing so with their bare hands, so after that they were like, okay. Rubber gloves, these are great, yeah, these are the best thing ever.
There you go.
Standard.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how these things become standard. All right, so something a little bit more in the mystical side. 1933 was pretty much the modern incarnation of the Loch Ness Monster sighting.
Mm. Ah.
It was the year after that is when we got the famous photo that everybody has seen. You know, and the Loch Ness Monster, quote unquote, has been cited, you know, for centuries. But It was this one in 1933 that it actually made like the news there. So it was like, oh my gosh, this thing is real.
A photograph of what they think it is. Right. That's cool.
I think that was the year after that. I don't think it was actually the sighting, okay. But it did get into the newspapers, which is what did it. And then not so much in geek history, but in Harry Potter history today.
Ooh,
in 1998, Voldemort was defeated at Hogwarts.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Okay, just a couple more things. Not too long ago, 2011, Osama bin Laden was killed today. Yes, so confetti everywhere for that one. Yay! And then, of course, to sort of wrap it up here, in 2008 today, you know what movie came out?
2008, A Space Odyssey?
No.
Odyssey?
No. Iron Man, actually. The first Iron Man came out today.
Hey. Well, there you go.
Yeah. It fits. Mm-hmm. This third one's coming out tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah. So I thought I'd tie it in. See? But the robots attack, tying it all in.
We're nice.
See, that's with a bow.
That's how we do it here on Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. All right. Mm-hmm. It's going to wrap up the news. We're going to take another music break and then come back with Caleb's Corner. I want to tease the folks again, just in case they're tuning in now and they missed the news.
If you've just tuned in, this is about taxpayers' money and the research that it funds.
All righty. And then after that, we're also going to have, in our game discussion, we're going to discuss Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. And what else? What else are we going to talk about?
The game was, brain just dumped the name right when I need it. I have it written down, though, so I can look it up real quick. Magnetic by Nature.
Magnetic by Nature, okay. So those two?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We'll stick with that.
All righty. We are Robots Attack. We'll be right back after this music break.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara. This is the section of the show that is opinions expressed by myself. They do not reflect the opinions of the Robots Attack crew or KSCU. They are just my own.
Very much don't represent our opinions. Yeah.
I was just going to say, or mine, but...
So,
Except when they do, but
something you may not realize or you may not think about very often is the fact that your tax money goes to funding all sorts of things. One of the cooler things that it goes to funding is science research.
Here in California, says you.
Oh.
And there
science has had a free ride for too long.
Oh man. So most of the research results are basically tied up in these scholarly papers, which you have to pay exorbitant amounts of money to get a hold of.
Okay.
And many major universities have actually had to reduce the number of these
scholarly papers
that they sign up for because they cost so much money. So, and furthermore, it's like your tax dollars at work. You paid for the research, but you don't get to reap the benefits of knowing what they researched or how it came out.
Yeah, that seems lame.
Yeah, okay. It's a little bit lame. And
see, science has had a free ride for too long, like I said, and you guys scoffed.
The fine folks over at the EFF are trying to help raise awareness for the Taxpayer Access to Publicly Funded Research Act, which will open the transparency a bit on these publicly funded research projects. I mean, privately funded projects are going to be privately funded, but the publicly funded ones should be able to impact society at large. The people shouldn't have to pay more money on top of the money they've already paid to get access to the results they've already paid for.
Yeah.
So there is I'm going to post a link that will take you to a page which will tell you more about this and also who you can contact to get their voice heard. Yes. Yeah. Contact your Congress critter about these things and get them to get on board with making life a little bit, making science more open, because science is about knowledge and gaining more knowledge and sharing that knowledge. So let's actually start sharing that knowledge.
Wait, your Congress what?
Your Congress critter.
I like that.
It just seems disrespectful to critters, that's all.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
It is classic 80s.
Oh, goodness. More on that later.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, that was Caleb's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take another music break and then come back with our game discussion. Like we mentioned, we're going to discuss Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, Magnetic by Nature.
Right? Yes.
All right.
And Jason, did you want to discuss Jam Souls also?
Maybe briefly.
Briefly, okay.
All right, I'll try to throw in some time for that then.
Well, I
love our briefly on this show. Turns into 20 minutes, so I'll try to crack the whip a little bit better. But all right, let's get to some music and then come back with that game discussion where robots attack. And, you know, like Caleb mentioned earlier on, let's have him mention it again about participating on the show.
That's right. If you have an opinion about something that we have said, want to add to our discussion about these topics, please interact with us more. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can look us up on Twitter, Robots Attack Me, all one word. And you can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if all of that's like a jumble of words, just remember robotsattack.me. That is our website. You can get links to everything else from there and catch up on past episodes there as well.
Yes, definitely participate. Let us know what you think of Caleb's Corner's topic mm-hmm. this week. Do you agree, disagree, why, and why not? All right, we are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, one only Geek Central Talk Show on KSU Santa Clara. We're now in the game discussion. Gentlemen, What would you like to talk about first?
Okay, we'll talk really quick about Jam Souls.
Jam Souls.
Jam. All right.
Yeah.
Best I can tell, the easiest way to sum it up is it's sort of a cross between Joust, Super Mario Brothers, and a very artistic French game.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's a very well designed Mario Brothers, the old arcade game.
Right. It sort of has flavors. It's acting like a Smash Brothers type of thing, but it still just works off of the basic idea that you're jumping on the other person's head. Mm-hmm. But it introduces the Smash Brothers thing. Also, that there's items that you run around you can grab that allow you to do other special abilities types of things.
Yeah.
To me, the thing that really shines about it is the artwork. I really like the... Each of the characters is based on some sort of ancient Greek...
It's the Pandora's Box legend.
Right. There you go. It's that thing. I knew all about that. Because, yeah.
So greed,
because it was a jar of jam.
Yeah, in this case. Okay. A little different.
Pandora's Jam is what it is.
Does it have a splash of Fifth Element Frenchiness to it?
There is a cute chick at the beginning, so sort of.
Okay.
In the fact that there's rich detailed backgrounds and characters, then yes.
Yeah. Just saying, because that movie's French.
It is.
Yeah. It's true. It's factual.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I enjoyed it because it was a really simple, straightforward type of gameplay, but I can understand also if it would be a little bit thin on anything new for some people.
So that's.
But here's the thing.
Oh, okay.
Since it's an indie game, is dirt cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it is. That's always only 80 points.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Very, very cheap.
Nice.
Maybe somewhere around.
We'll edit that out later in post.
Yeah, fix it in post.
Yeah. Anyway.
So out of 5 Super Jasons, how many Super Jasons is it?
80.
Wow.
He really likes that one.
No. I thought it was excellent for its value. Mm-hmm. So I give it 5.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Caleb?
I played it also. I liked it okay. It took me a while to figure out exactly how to make the characters do anything beyond jump, which wasn't necessarily a bad thing. It took me a while to get into it.
Yeah, you can't do anything until you actually collect items or you get enough jam in order to trigger your special power.
Yeah, and I never quite was able to survive long enough to do either to hold on to an item long enough to use it well or to pick up enough jam to make my character different than everybody else. So, but it was still fun. It just took a little while to figure out what the heck was going on. So I'd give it like a 3 because it's solid. Design, I'd give it a 4 because the visual design is really nice.
So a 3.5 from
3.5.
Caleb.
Nice. All right, let's move on to Magnetic by Nature.
It was boring.
Whatever, I liked it quite a bit. I found the gameplay to be a lot like Super Meat Boy in terms of that it's on you to figure out how to get yourself through the level. The controls are pretty tight, and it's a 2D side scroller as well. The differentiator in this one is that the left and right trigger will either propel you, repulse you from a magnetic feature, or attract you to a magnetic feature. Right. So you can kind of...
It adjusts your magnetism.
Yeah, you can like float or fly through a bounce through a scene using just the triggers once you get past a certain point, and then you can direct yourself a little bit with your left stick.
So it sort of becomes a magnetic version of all of the other chromatic games out there.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah. And it does it quite well, I think, and has a nice physics engine and all that other good stuff.
Right.
The graphics are simple, but they're really good at what they are.
It looks like it was a final project for University of Utah, best I could tell. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
But yeah, it's also really inexpensive, and I thought it was a fair amount of fun. Definitely worth checking out.
Difficult, so I just kicked it to the curb right away.
Get out of here. You're too hard. Get out of here.
It is challenging, but it's also rewarding when you get it right. You're like, yes! Yeah.
Negative 50 Super Jasons?
No, I'd still give it a 5.
Okay.
Wow, okay. That's 2 5s so far.
Well, okay, here's what I have to scale it by.
Okay.
I go through the indie games every week looking for something that does not completely disappoint me, and I actually really enjoyed both of these. Instead of being like, well, what the heck? This is not worth 80 points type of thing, which is not much. Yeah. So
that's saying something.
Yeah.
You talk about I love Avatar Drop. No, not really.
Actually, I like it quite a bit. My nephew and niece, they love that game so much.
It's for the chillins.
It's fun. It's silly.
And the chillin inside.
Yep.
All right.
So yeah, there's that.
There's that.
Cool. So I guess our last game is the Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Yes.
So
this one we can all get involved on, I believe, right? No, almost all of us. I just saw someone shake their head, so okay.
So
we've both been talking for a while. Joe, what did you think of it?
I'd have to say it's definitely awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love like all the 80s homages.
Yes.
From like the very opening tracking.
Yes.
On a VCR.
Oh my gosh.
To like the like tutorial menus like teasing you and yes. stuff. Like
best tutorial ever.
Yeah.
And you know, having Michael Biehn as the voiceover actor for your character, like is it Rex like Super Colt or something
right.
like
that? Yeah.
Yeah, Rex Power Colt.
Rex Power Colt.
Cyber Commando.
No, yeah.
So awesome.
I mean, when you have like opening helicopter like Predator references and then mm-hmm. go jump into music from Predator as
oh my
you're
gosh,
like
really?
Chain gun. Yes.
Yeah.
I missed out on oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's too late. You can't do it anymore. It's gone.
Yeah, if you're a fan of any like 80s action movies or early 90s like sci-fi,
mm-hmm. it is saturated.
Yeah.
In. Yeah.
This game is just full of it.
Dripping.
And then give it a healthy shellacking of Tron on top of it.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. neon dream.
Yeah, yeah. It's super bright colors. It's a lot of fun.
I love the music too. The mm-hmm. music is straight out of like it's like yeah. all like copies of like Predator, Terminator, 80s, 90s sci-fi movie music. Like,
take your pick.
Yeah. It's just fantastic. I mean if you aren't really familiar with all that stuff, it might not hit you as well, but it's just still like a fun game as well.
And I'm sorry I let you guys down and I didn't play the demo. This sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And all of the buddy stuff
oh, man.
Is awesome too.
Yes.
Yeah. And just in case you don't know, you do not need Far Cry 3 to play this game. It's a completely separate game.
They should have never named it that. It's confusing as all get out.
Well, I think it's because it's the same engine and same team.
I posited that same hypothesis. Still dumb. On their part, we're smart because we figured that out. But other than that,
yeah.
it's on them, the dumbness.
But yeah,
because calling it Blood Dragon, people would be like, "What is this?" But Far Cry 3, then they know they know what they're in for, at least somewhat.
They'd be like, "Well, I have to buy Far Cry 3. I don't have any interest in that."
Okay.
If you've played Far Cry 3, it's very similar in how it plays and like kind of like how it introduces you to stuff. You're like, whoa, this is a lot like Far Cry 3. Mm-hmm. But it has this neon, you know, 80s action, 90s paint
Schlack
over it.
Yes.
Yeah. And
squee!
Yeah, just I love the
and you shoot people in the head and their head bursts in like a neon blue.
Yeah, they're all like cyborg robot soldier guys and
yeah, that's awesome.
I love too just the opening of like, you know, the graphics and it's like space. And then it lowers down Earth.
Yeah.
And then it's like the future. The apocalypse has ripped the earth, you know, and it's like 2007.
Right.
It's all like shades of like early 16 Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo era like opener graphics things.
But yeah, it's like it's like the opening of Predator. Like mm-hmm. it showed the space and then, you know, it goes down and then there's Earth.
Yeah.
And I was like half expecting like the Predator ship to fly by, but
Yeah, I think the game Bastion kind of like changed the game forever as far as how they're going to use announcers and stuff like this.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Definitely not for the kiddies. They're swearing galore.
Yeah.
And it's gory.
Yes.
So. Yeah, it's definitely 80s action. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's beautiful and it's overdoneness. Like, and I love like they totally committed to the theme and they just said, "You know what? We're in this. Let's just push this thing as far as this ball as far as we can down the field." It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, like I mentioned with the tutorial, it's like he lands after the helicopter,
mm-hmm.
and you know, this isn't really that big of a spoiler, but just so you get more of the feel of this game, like your partner tells like the computer in you to like auto lock your gun in and upload the tutorial programs, and it's, you know, all the basic stuff of like press A so you recognize that you read this thing, right. And like uses the jump, and then Michael Biehn is replying, he's like, "Oh, come on!"
Right.
I just want to go and shoot things.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine if you're an actual person being forced into all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just awesome like way to teach you how to, you know, like press this button to crouch, and then the descriptions, like it goes into detail of like what muscles are used when you're crouching.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like
uses your calf muscles to create vertical movement over long distances.
Yeah. Like you go faster when you sprint than in a normal walk.
<It's> like, right.
Yes.
Just in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's also fun is like, a lot of the descriptions of things, like even in the weapons, like if you go into the start menu and look at the descriptions of the guns and stuff, it's full of references and just silly humor and just completely over the topness.
It basically outright tells you that the main pistol that you start out with is a recreation of the RoboCop gun.
Yeah,
it flat out tells you.
without actually saying the name, in
a funny way, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you guys have to go play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jen, go home and play this. You will enjoy this.
Yeah. Although maybe you shouldn't, because you'll immediately want to buy it.
Yeah.
Because I want to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one downside. Like, no, I want to buy this thing. Ha.
Not a downside for the people who created it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they've done a good job, and they did a good job selling it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's, you know, since we've praised it a bunch, I guess on a slight negative, I could see that perhaps, I don't know how many playthroughs it would be where, you know, the humor and everything would hold as well. You know, like maybe after, you know, playing through it once or twice, like it might not be as good. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say because we just played the trial just to clarify.
Yeah, I was glad. Like he has a normal thing if he hasn't destroyed an enemy for a while, he'll usually like throw off a one-liner when he does said activity, and he'll usually have a follow-up one-liner for the next guy and whatnot. But it doesn't like machine gun fire him at you, thankfully.
Right.
It seems to give you a little bit of pause in between. So hopefully it sticks with that and doesn't completely wear out the one-liners, although they are pretty awesome from what I have seen. So,
yeah, I had a lot of fun playing it. It's an interesting environment as well.
I was kind of curious I know you ended up seeing a lot of those movies that it references later on.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of curious if it would still resonate with you as well.
Oh yeah, totally.
Caleb. Okay. Yeah. I didn't think you'd be like, "Oh, this is bad," but I just wondered if a lot of the references, like they would hit you as well as like I knew they would Super Jason and myself.
They're broad enough that I actually was able to catch them. So, it's one of those like, this looks familiar. Oh, I totally know what this is. Like the moment of recognition is well worth the price of admission.
Yeah, it is cool that it took like a wide variety of 80s action movies. They're all like sci-fi themed, it seems like, but but it catches somebody at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
I didn't notice, but did you notice if there was a multiplayer element to it?
I didn't.
It didn't seem to have any multiplayer that I could tell.
Okay.
That's for the future, probably.
The DLC for an already downloadable game.
Right.
Yeah. Supposedly, like all the, because in Far Cry 3, you the hunting is an aspect of it. And there's a bunch of different variety of animals that you hunt.
Okay.
And in this one, they have that as well, but they're all like mutant, crazy things. And the blood dragon is dragons the are apex, one of them. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so.
blood dragon. Just so people know, and also this was thrown out in the preview stuff for the game, so I'm not spoiling too much. It's basically Laser Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yes. And it looks pretty cool too.
Yeah.
Not like those monsters in Pacific Rim that look dumb.
Yeah, who wants to see them?
Oh. Yeah.
Those special effects are lame.
Yeah, they don't have any neon on them.
Careful now.
They do not glow in the dark. These monsters are lame.
Yeah.
Go back home, monsters.
I know.
You sound like Keith. Kiff. Sorry, Kiff.
Del Toro's probably like, oh man, after he sees Blood Dragon, be like, they one-upped me. Ubisoft! I needed neon! Neon!
Yeah. He'll do director's Pacific cut. Rim Redux.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything glows.
Yeah, he'll add neon to everything.
Idris Elba is now glowing all the time.
Yeah, he does like to glow.
Mm.
In every role.
I think he glows. Aw.
As long as he doesn't sparkle.
Yeah. I think he sparkles too.
Oh, okay.
Well, and on that note.
You know what is sparkly?
What's?
If you want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us wherever you want whenever you want at www.kscu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound.
Alrighty, that's going to wrap up our game discussion. Here on Robots Attack, let us know what you thought, if you had a chance to play any of those, if you liked them, disliked them, any other games that you played this week that we didn't mention, go ahead and mention on our Facebook page or tweet us or email us. And yes, we're going to take another music break and then come back with the core. Jason, why don't you let the folks know what we're going to talk about in the core?
Okay.
They're just joining us.
All the future movies. Did they lie to us? Do we care? Are we hurt? Or are we happy?
Are we human or are we dancer? Wait, no, it's something else entirely.
I'm a prancer. Wait, probably not. But.
Well, I'm a meat popsicle.
Alrighty, well, on that note, we are Robots Attack.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We are now in the core. Super Jason, you have brought us a topic this week.
Yes. I have.
Enlightened us all.
So. Okay.
drop some knowledge on us.
No, as I stated before the break, there's a bunch of the science fiction out there. Some of it has been out there for a while. Some of it supposedly has come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
Are we happy that things turned out like they are? Or are we saddened that the sci-fi was wrong?
So this concept of the in the near future kind of thing.
Exactly, because, I mean, it's used all over the place. Mm-hmm. The main thing that brought it to my immediate vision was the game that we were just talking about, where it's set in 2007, which is a little while back, but still that idea that they had all of this future stuff, and we don't have lasers right now, or like Godzilla monsters running around, cybernetic commandos that we know of, at least.
Yeah, not in a mass production sense, like the game would imply.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, we have a lot of stuff that they never thought of. I mean, nobody ever thought that computers would be as crazy as they are, like sitting on your phone, let alone that we have phones with us all the time.
True.
So
true.
I mean, where is that line of where things turned out cool versus kind of crappy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad that New York City wasn't turned into a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Escape from New York.
Yeah.
And like
that seems like a bonus.
Or that none of the early post-apocalyptic nuclear wasteland stories came to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the Mad Max movies never happened, as far as we know, which is good.
Don't forget Terminator.
Oh, yeah, Terminator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because the bomb was supposed to go off in like 90-something.
Yeah, Judgment Day was... I'll look that up while
Judgment,
we discuss.
I think actually...
95 or 96, I thought.
I thought there was something about Skynet became aware, like, not that long ago. I thought, but I guess I'm
not. Yes, not long ago was Chip and Skynet's self-awareness date. I remember that.
Yeah, it was all over the Twitterverse and Facebook and things.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something, too, about, like, because they had the Sarah Connor Chronicles
mm-hmm.
having one date for something, and then, like, the movie having a date for another event as well. And so, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that happened in this. And
exactly.
But yeah, we're glad that didn't happen.
Yes, very glad.
Okay, so in barring all the destruction and whatnot, I mean, let's just go as far as... since
we don't have flying cars.
Yeah, that's
sort
disappointing.
Of. I mean, as far as like you look at Back to the Future
mm-hmm.
Part 2.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the thing. Like, Back to the Future
Runner.
Part 2 doesn't happen for another couple years. So maybe in a couple years, we'll have all of that stuff.
Oh, sure.
I'm still holding out hope for the hoverboards. I can't skate
cool,
worth anything,
but
I still want a hoverboard.
Yeah. I'll mm-hmm. even take a pink Mattel Barbie one.
Right.
Like
yeah.
he had in the movie, if it means I can have a hoverboard.
Definitely.
I don't have faith in the government, though, to put up the skyways, basically, for you know, the cars that are going to come out next year.
Oh, the government's not going to do that. The mega corporations are. So it's all going to be safe and sound.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like Microsoft. And
yeah, well, the Microsoft Expressway.
Or like, or more like the SpaceX projects, where it's like, here is mass commercially produced transit in the sky kind of things.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And people haven't really mentioned that probably the greatest sci-fi epic of all time, Demolition Man, it took place in 1999.
Yeah.
Was it really that quote early on?
Let's see. In 1999, John Spartan is sentenced to cryogenic prison for life.
Wow.
Yeah, the cryogenics.
Right. Mm-hmm. So technically, most of the movie takes place after that. So basically, the mega riots of L.A. take place in 1999.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad the future that he woke up into didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that looks so lame.
Taco Bell is pretty good, though. So.
Yeah, Taco
it's
Bell.
It's getting better. Come on.
The only restaurant left.
Yeah.
When the franchise wars.
and that movie did have, like, I think the obvious, the first character description of varies from Game of Thrones. I think that character is in that basically okay. big chubby guy that really controls everything. Yeah. Is That's also true. Very fond of Taco Bell. Same in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Exactly.
Exactly the same.
But yeah. That it is classic. I'll go with you on that one. But yeah, we don't have, or, you know, like the flying cars in Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Did they ever say what year that was? Did they
Blade Runner in? Isn't for another like 20 years or something like that, best
okay.
I remember.
Okay.
But still, I mean, that's not that far away considering.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Well, hopefully we don't get the nuclear fallout winter that comes along with that one too.
it is funny, like all of these have some sort of Holocaust, some sort of mass nastiness happened that caused the future to be ushered in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, most of them were written, most of these stories came about in their late 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s Cold War era, where the threat of nuclear war was kind of the biggest thing on most people's minds.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it seems almost logical that that would have been what they would expect to happen if something were to go horribly wrong, which is what these books are supposed to tell you not to do.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So we learned enough from all of that stuff that we avoided disaster. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
All of the sci-fi stuff is amazingly invaluable.
Yep.
It's true.
Yeah. Blade Runner, the movie, happens in 2019. So we've got a little ways to go before we get there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not that much.
Not much. We still have ways to go before you have the big, although the blimps, the jumbotrons on the side, that one might actually happen. We're getting.
That is true.
We're doing
that's
some
true.
Pretty amazing stuff with projection and and LED arrays as well.
Yeah, and it's funny. I remember watching. We were rewatching Voyager, and there's a flashback where B'Elanna Torres is out camping with her dad, and she's got her data pad with her. And I'm like, oh my god, people do that now with their iPads. Oh my god, put that away. You're out in the wilderness.
Yeah, I had the exact same reaction to watching that series again too.
It's like it was prophetic. We just didn't realize how prophetic it was.
Yeah. Before we get to another idea.
Segue. Yeah. Are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving forever and foster homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share your stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join us at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for us on Facebook.
Yeah, another one that I thought was kind of interesting that I can't find the reference to it here, so it must have been on another site, but somebody pointed out that the Clone Wars that took place in the Star Trek universe were happening as we speak.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically what created Khan.
Oh, yes, yes. So, okay. I'm like,
so yeah, it makes me wonder too, like where the genetic stuff has gone, because there were a lot of people really afraid of genetics going completely crazy way back in the 60s. And I mean, I think the most that people have mentioned it since then is like the Gargoyle series here and there. So
yeah.
Yeah, and even we had the whole Dolly thing. What was this? Was that the name of the
Dolly the sheep was the
Dalai Lama was cloned.
No. Yeah, but that was years ago, and we sort of don't talk about stuff like that anymore. At least nothing as fantastical in a way.
Yeah, the weirdest thing about
we try not to talk about anything that came out of Scotland.
The strangest genetics thing that I heard recently was some scientists in South Africa that have made a glow-in-the-dark sheep.
See, okay.
Or just, to be specific,
actually, that's one
a UV reactive.
Yeah, that's one that I meant to bring up also, because people are making glow-in-the-dark stuff all over the place, and everybody makes a big deal about it, and it always ends up being the same thing. It's really just a black light sheep.
Yes.
Or a black light plant or whatnot. And nobody's made actually glowing stuff at all, because for some reason it's difficult to make fireflies.
Well, I think it's the electroluminescence is like, it's a difficult thing to manufacture that kind of power within the body and have it react in a way that you can control.
And yet we have glow sticks. Help me out with that one. Why can't we just inject glow sticks into things?
I'm pretty sure they're toxic.
Well, they can grow the glowy, sticky stuff themselves, and they'll be happy with those toxins because they'll be genetically modified.
Yeah, love that stuff. I think there's a reason why we haven't made actual glowing things.
I'm gonna chug one of those, see if I can get superpowers. That's all I'm saying.
You may not
want to try this at home. I'm just particularly daring. So
we don't have the cybernetics that I wish we had in some of these movies, and we don't have RoboCop.
We do not have RoboCop. That is a disappointment. Although it surprises me how close to some of these cybernetic beings we are getting these days with the more reactive powered legs and arms, and if they actually get around to making these things sensitive to touch, it will be much more like what they've described in some of these fantastic novels.
I would be terrified of an Ed 209.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. The Ed 209 is like the one thing that we could very easily make right now.
Yeah.
That would be so easy because it was dumb as a box.
It was
a shoebox with giant guns.
You could run that
mildly
off
homicidal.
Yeah.
Which most shoeboxes are.
Mm-hmm. You probably could run that thing off of one of those prototyping boards or something like that. It's like, it wouldn't take too much.
Exactly. That can be powered by my Android phone, which is probably also homicidal. Thankfully, it doesn't have guns.
Yes.
It spites me in other ways.
I can't shoot you, but I can make you not post on Facebook.
Exactly.
Annoy you to death.
I'm never giving you a gun phone.
Yeah, Total Recall is a bit ways into the future. I believe it was 2084. I just looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was when I just quoted, maybe.
Exactly that time.
Exactly. We could probably do the little Johnny cabs that they had.
Or actually, yeah, the Google cars.
The Google self-driving cars.
Kinda
they're on their, like they're on their way.
And you need to program it with a sense of sarcasm. The door opened. You got in. Google sarcasm.
But yeah. I want those as fast as you can get them.
Mm-hmm.
I hate driving. I want something to drive for me.
Yeah.
Okay, Google, make it happen.
Yeah, and technically could be more efficient and better for the roads and for the environment.
True story.
It's true.
I hate the world that you guys are looking forward to.
Well, I don't think we'll ever quite get rid of the car for the individual, but like the self-driving car will be good for let's call it the 80-70% of us that, and while we might enjoy driving, we also don't mind not driving either.
Hell yeah. I can do a lot of stuff if I don't have to drive.
This is true.
Don't get me wrong, I understand the utility of it. I just have fun driving. So having something take that away from me is scary.
I can see that too.
I fear change.
Is there any estimation when the Hunger Games took place?
No.
It's all speculation.
There's
none
whatsoever.
The timeline for that one's a bit wonky because they don't really go into...
Because they purposely hide the facts from the people.
Well, the war took out most of the facts as well.
I can't believe I know that. I'm disappointed in myself right now.
Any totalitarian government worth its salt is going to hide the facts from the people. That's what they do.
Right.
But also...
Most of the ones in Stargate series do that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems to be a trait common to totalitarian governments.
In fiction.
And in reality, I think, too, and up to a point.
I think most of them still have history books, but
yeah,
they may not like them all that much.
But. Yeah, but if they're off-world, then you can control things a little bit more tightly. That is
true, if you're off-world.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Because with all the people that totalitarian governments have...
Say that 15 times fast.
Yeah, no, thank you.
16.
No.
12.
I refuse. Here on Earth, we're still somewhat connected by being on one planet.
Thank you, Internet,
yes.
By the way.
Yeah.
Also not in anything.
Any of these stories do not involve the Internet, except for...
It's not even in the Matrix, when you think about it.
Yeah, not in the same way.
What about the Net? I think the Net came out before the Matrix.
Yeah. And then
I like that movie a lot, but let's be honest, that's just a whole bunch of like dial-up. There's nothing to do with the internet on that.
I remember being a little floored. It's like, oh my gosh, you really could just stay at home and never leave your house. You can, because she was like working on the internet. She was buying her food off the internet, which at the time was like,
that movie was ahead of its time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's true. Yeah.
Like Tron.
Yep.
Now you can order pizza from your Xbox.
Yeah.
Yes. Have done
proof
that.
Positive. It has been done.
And it is actually kind of nicer than the other ways of ordering it. It still floors me.
Mm-hmm.
So, any other things worth mentioning before we wrap up?
No, nothing.
No,
we've covered it all.
Yeah, no, it's,
wow. We've covered the future. All right.
It's done.
There's still the like a few books and stories that have been that have not yet come to pass, but I think are very much
by who?
That's right.
Snow Crash is one of the books. William Gibson is the author.
That's not what I was looking for, but that's still pretty good too.
Well, we covered Blade Runner, which was written by Philip K. Dick, who the original book was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Now he won't get in trouble when he goes home.
Is there more PKD?
Yes. Also, Total Recall. We can Remember It For You Wholesale was the novel that inspired the movie.
Oh.
Yep. He's written actually quite a few of the stories that have been turned into science fiction films these days.
Nice.
Good on you. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Snow Crash is about a near future scenario where like corporations have become the nations of the world kind of thing, and it's that one seems like it might actually start coming true at some point because it's like
kind of the what Syndicate was based off of also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Google has more gross more profit than most small countries.
That's true.
True. Yeah, it kind of.
So does Apple.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apple and Google are going to do Punch Out, and that's mm-hmm. going to change the world. And it's going to be really weird since everybody views those two companies as very saintly in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the one that will rise from the rubble, Microsoft.
Yeah. They always play it safe in the background, and they always end up surviving. So
mm-hmm. Something like that.
It'll eat up those three and just become a micro Google pull or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, micro Google App Store.
There you go.
While you're eating your Taco Bell.
Yeah. All right, well, that's been Robots Attack for now. Hopefully you enjoyed our discussion of the future, what it brought, what it didn't bring, and all that mm-hmm. jazz.
I know I did.
I did too.
Yeah.
We're here every Thursday from 7 to 9. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show.
Woo!
Definitely stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. We are Robots Attack. See y'all later.
Black Goose. Veronica. Misto.